A Playlist Original.
Welcome to the Pilot Podcast,
where we watch the pilot episodes of TV shows to answer your question, should I watch this?
My name is Meetu.
And my name is BJ.
And this week, we're watching Netflix's Lupin.
So stay tuned to find out if Meetu has experience at the Louvre.
Okay, we'll find out if I've been by the end of this episode.
And maybe you brought back a souvenir.
Well, it would have been from the guest shop. Beach, why don't you let us know what happened in this pilot episode?
Sure. So this story follows the thief Hassan Diop. He is the son of an immigrant from Senegal, and they have moved to France for a better life. And we end up finding out that they work for a wealthy family that frames Hassan's father for the theft of an expensive diamond necklace. We now fast forward to the present day, and our main character is now trying to get his revenge because this necklace that was stolen 25 years ago has shown up again. Along the way, he has his own family now with a son. We really just have to see how a gentleman thief operates in France. Meetu, what were your first impressions of Lupin?
This show was recommended to us by so many of you, and I get why it's popular. It was such a fun watch. Not to spoil anything, but he is a gentleman thief, so you do get one of those scenes, like in the Ocean's movies, where you find out how he wanted to do a heist. And that just makes it delightful. It felt like a self-contained movie within a 50-minute show.
Definitely. He is charming, giving credit to Omar Sy, who's playing our gentleman thief. And it's great the different perspectives that they're giving throughout this. And you really do see what it means to be a gentleman thief or burglar versus gangster type of people that he works with throughout the episode.
He charms everyone. He has a great relationship with his ex-wife Claire, played by Ludivine Sanger. He has a great relationship with the thieves because they don't trust him. They try to hang him from a balcony asking for money, takes a few words from him to convince them to not hurt him and actually jump in with him on a heist. He charms everyone around him to doing what he needs them to do, and he is in charge of manipulating the situation. He walked into an auction at the Louvre as part of a heist in a suit, a three-piece suit, but no tie, and still managed to convince people using just a fake Wikipedia page that he was a 100 millionaire.
Yeah, I think about half a billion euros was his net worth.
The man was not wearing a tie. He was wearing cufflinks, a vest, a jacket, pants, and no tie.
As I tried to tell Meetu, once you reach a certain wealth status, a certain socioeconomic level, ties become optional. She clearly has not lived that life. I really do hope that she does. I want her to experience that no-tie lifestyle. But right now, it's just so foreign to her.
Okay, now that we are done patronizing me from a position of not wealth, let's talk more about Lupin. He is more than an anti-hero. He's trying to pull off a heist, and yet you find yourself rooting for him because he is avenging his father. He is coming at this trifling family that led to a very tragic demise for the only family that he had in France, his father, because they immigrated together from Senegal.
Yeah, it's this very interesting perspective where we immediately think of the Pellegrini family as the villains. We immediately see Lupin as our charming hero that we're rooting for. We're convinced to overlook the fact that he is committing crimes. And this reminds me a lot of an older show, Revenge, that used to be on ABC, which also starred a main character who grew up with a wealthy family. She was betrayed due to that family. And now that she's older, she's taking this opportunity to avenge the wrongdoings that were done to her and her family.
What worked on Lupin is that they used flashbacks really well. When I saw that the episode was 50 minutes, I will admit that I was like, come on, another hour-long show that might not need to be an hour, but it was paced so well. You see the flashbacks, you see how his father started working for this family. He found the matriarch of the family with her car broken down on the side of the road. He fixed her car. He became her driver.
He kept driving since that day.
And she seemed to accept him and his family because Lupin seemed to have freedom in the home. There's a scene where he goes for a swim and he has what I think is his first kiss with their daughter, Juliet. So this family has made Lupin and his father feel comfortable. And then as soon as things go left, which we see in the flashbacks, that this necklace turns up missing, who's the first person they point a finger at who gets carted off by the police? His father.
Yeah, and that adds to the hurt that Lupin feels and you feel for Lupin, that they truly did let Lupin and his father into their home and they became close, and for them to quickly turn and accuse the father of being the thief, and for the mother of the household to say nothing because we get a feeling she knows that the father was innocent, it hurt.
I actually want to give a big shout out to Mamadou Haidara, who plays young Lupin. He has this beautiful scene with the matriarch of the family, Anne Pellegrini, played by Nicole Garcia, where he essentially and literally tells her to go to hell when she tries to comfort him after his father meets tragedy because of the mess of her and her husband. Lupin has been holding on to this information for decades and now has an opportunity to exact revenge. So what is the next step of the Pellegrini family? What will the parents do? What will Juliet do? How will they react to knowing that they might have someone whom they used to hold power over now having leverage over them?
Ooh, that is an interesting question. And I think we're still in a position where there's a lot of unknowns because it's unclear if Juliet recognized Lupin at the auction. It's also unclear why the necklace showed up again. That was something that was puzzling.
It also means that the father probably never had it. I think it is confirmed that his daddy did not take that necklace, and that means this family did something. Obviously, things got away from them, including that priceless necklace.
Exactly. Someone probably misplaced it, and now they found it, and they're moving on as if nothing happened. But Lupin has that trauma still that he's been holding on to. And we're now going to see how they can come together and what's going to happen when Lupin and Juliet, for example, confront each other. Because I think they're going to have to meet at some point, right?
I think he'll seduce her like he seduces everyone else around him, be it romantically or otherwise. We see him getting a job at the Louvre in order to set up the heist of this necklace, and he charms the person interviewing him for the janitor role quite easily. I mean, he picks up something off her desk, says a couple lines, and she goes from telling him we have no jobs available to, you might be manager one day. I love you.
That goes to the background of Lupin. This is all based off of a classic French story about Arsène Lupin, who is the gentleman thief and a master of disguise. And within this show, Lupin, our main character, Lupin, his father gives him a book about this character, and that's what inspires him to become a gentleman thief.
Which is funny because that book was a gift to his father from Madame Pellegrini,
who did not stick up for him.
So she might have set up her own downfall. She invited him into the study to give him a gift. And I think that the reason she invited him in there is for people to have seen him in there, for them to accuse him of taking that necklace from the study, rather than just her, out of the goodness of her heart, wanting to give him a book because she knows he loves reading.
Now this sounds like we're figuring out the game Clue. Was he in the study with the necklace at midnight?
With the candlestick, exactly.
Or were they in the Louvre with the other necklace?
It would be so funny if she, in an attempt to set his father up, set in motion a series of actions that would then lead to her own downfall all the way around.
I think that's a likely scenario. I think that's a common storyline where they betray someone, and in that betrayal, they inspire someone to eventually take them down.
I mean, she handed him a playbook for how to rob her.
And it's also interesting, he hands that book to his own son. So I think he wants this to just be an ongoing thing. Maybe if he doesn't take down the Pellegrinis, his son will try.
Do you think that when he gave the book to his son, he didn't just pass it down like his father gave to him for nice reading, and instead was like, you can rob these people and get revenge too?
I wonder. I bet his father gave it to him for nice reading, but also, like, this is inspirational, right? Hint, hint.
So what do you see coming next?
I think one of the interesting things about the setup of this show, and you mentioned it's a little longer, but it is worth the 40 to 50 minute time frame. Each episode seems to feel like a complete TV movie. We had an entire heist from beginning to end in this opening episode. And so I feel like we're going to see full crimes throughout the series. And each of those crimes is going to get us either one step closer to Lupin and Juliet interacting, or one step closer to just tearing down the Pellegrini family, empire, wealth. And so that's how I see the structure. Another thing to keep in mind to our listeners is that 5 episodes are out now, and later this year is when we'll get part 2, so we don't have the complete story yet. What do you see happening in this part 1 of Lupin?
I also think that his interactions with Juliet were building to that place, and maybe she will be a wrench in his plans, or he'll manipulate her to be helpful to his plans. I also am nervous for him because there is a detective who drew a line pretty early about the connection between this robbery, the behaviors of the thief, and Lupin. So, as a light spoiler, in the heist, a few of the people that Lupin was working with tried to double cross him, and he anticipated it, and he got them right back. I don't know if you call that a quadruple cross, or we all just take 3 rights to come back to the same place, but he figured it out. And with that, they're immediately seeing that, okay, these 3 guys don't strike us as that bright. They could not have done this. And the detective just happened to have several copies of the Gentleman Thief books at his desk at work, just piled together. And he pulled out the correct one, started reading it, and is starting to draw the line between what they witnessed that evening and the book. So I wonder what that detective will bring to the table and how long it will take for people to take him seriously. Because I don't know if I were the chief captain, whatever it is in the French police system, that I would then listen to my detective who's like, you know, this feels like a book I just read. I think Nancy Drew cracked a case just like this one.
Ooh, you would be really good if there was a Nancy Drew copycat thief out there.
I would.
Another question I'm wondering, because I am still watching Nancy Drew on the CW, she has a team. And in this opening episode, Lupin has a temporary team. Do you see him picking up a partner or a crew throughout the series?
I wonder if he has to. You can't operate on your own. Or will he just keep bringing disposable people like the team at the Louvre? He certainly can't pull off the scale of things that he's doing as a single person.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, but I don't know if he can cut anyone in unless there are other families, which I'm sure there are, that have been wronged by the Pellegrinis.
Yeah, I'm thinking it might be a situation where he just doesn't need anyone else. Maybe being a gentleman thief with that gentleman aspect is you're not going to draw in a lot of other people into these crimes and these situations.
Just pawns.
Just pawns. Yeah, the polite thing is you bring in some low-level thugs. You already know they're going to do jail time, so it's okay.
BJ is giving thieving etiquette lessons. So the polite thing, when you walk in to steal something from someone else, is you do not bring a crew. Because you don't bring guests to a party. You just bring pawns.
Always make sure that you are prepared, that you have an outfit change, that you know what time you're going to leave, arrive on time. We noticed that Lupin arrived to the auction on time. He's punctual. There is definitely a gentleman quality to being a gentleman thief.
I would also say that this show is in French with English subtitles. It kept my attention the whole time. I never at any point was frustrated by the fact that I had to keep staring at the screen to read the subtitles. Whereas with other shows, sometimes you get a little bored, you pull out your phone. In this case, you can't, unless you speak French, will miss whole bits of dialogue. There were times I wanted to take notes on what I was watching, and then I would miss things, and then we would have to rewind. But other than that, it really held my attention the whole time.
And to speak even more to that, you were disappointed when you missed a line or two. Like, you wanted to know everything that was going on. And there are dubs available on Netflix. So We could have listened to it in English. There were some other languages available as well, but we felt like it would be a better experience to listen to it in the original language it was recorded in. And the subtitles, I feel like, were very easy to follow along.
I mean, I'm also trying to learn French from this show and from the Golden Globe nominated Emily in Paris.
What did that show teach you? Give us a couple words.
Ringarde. That means basic.
And that's what Emily taught you.
That's what I learned from Emily in Paris. And from Lupin, I learned, I don't even remember anymore. There was something I really liked that I learned, but I forgot.
Might need to watch this again. Anyway, any final thoughts before we head into our rating?
Beach, will you watch more episodes of Lupin on Netflix?
I will continue watching Lupin. I'm going to say casually. I think I'm inclined to wait until part 2 is released to fully dive in, but I definitely want to keep going with this story. Lupin has captivated me. I want to see more of his clever rhymes and his clever setup, how he thinks and plans ahead, because he really thinks in advance. I appreciate that. I'm going to keep going. How do you feel?
I will watch again seriously. I don't think that there are going to be too many cliffhangers if this first episode is an indication. It really felt so self-contained and it was so satisfying to watch that I think that me and other impatient people when it comes to cliffhangers will be okay between the end of the 5th episode and the second half of the shows that will come out later this year. However, if there is a cliffhanger, please don't be mad at me. I'm sorry. You and I will both be mad at the same time. We'll both be mad at me. It's okay. We can just sit in that frustration till the second half comes out.
Nice little preemptive apology. Cover all your bases.
Well, it's not an apology. I'm not admitting fault.
So
now I'm gonna have to release one of those celebrity iOS press releases. Like I'm gonna type into my phone and do a screenshot and post it to our Instagram. It's like, I'm sorry.
I know I said that there wouldn't be any cliffhangers, and I know I said I wouldn't apologize for it, but I want you to have my sincere feelings.
I'm sorry if y'all were offended. All right, Beach, where can people find more episodes of the Pilot Podcast?
Yeah, well, if they want to brighten their day, they should head to our website at thepilotpodcast.com, where they can listen to all of our episodes, and they can also subscribe to us on their favorite podcast platforms.
You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at thepilotpod, and you can send thoughts, feelings, show suggestions, recommendations, more shows that you want us to review, because Lupin was a very fun recommendation, to askthepilotpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Bye.